If the gifts are offered together and consecrated together, is the Mass valid? Well, I presume the questioner means consecrated as normally, the bread first and the wine. Well, it depends on what's on the mind of the priest. There is no valid consecration. There is no valid consecration unless the priest intends to consecrate. Now, he offers them together, it's wrong, sinfully wrong. The offering, it was still not invalid as the Mass. And even if the priest, I repeat, if the priest omitted the offertory, it could still be a valid Mass, provided he does not intend to not consecrate, provided he does not intend to offer a sacrifice. How is the Mass present times? How are we to recognize this? Well, certainly, by skipping the offertory, you are presentizing the Mass. Why do some priests call the altar the table of the Lord? Well, they shouldn't. On the other hand, in the last analysis, if a priest believes in his own power to consecrate bread and wine, does not intend to exclude either the consecration or the sacrifice, then it would be valid. And the problem, as you realize, is that so many priests are themselves confused. Oh, how deeply confused in their thinking. And God judges their guilt. However, a priest's ignorance does not make the Mass valid because he does not know. For example, if out of ignorance, say the priest would use what is really pastry instead of bread, in ignorance, that Mass is not valid. In essence, the Mass is Protestantized. The Mass is Protestantized insofar as a person does not believe that the Mass is a sacrifice in which Christ offers himself to his Heavenly Father. Although I don't fully grasp the connection between Martin Luther and the question, God is present everywhere, Christ is God. Please explain a little more. Martin Luther was a priest for 15 years. In 1517, he broke with the Catholic Church. It happened to be on Halloween, October 31st, 1517. Having been a priest for so many years, he continued offering what had been, of course, the Mass, minus, however, the offertory. He lost his faith in the Mass as a sacrifice. But then, and many Catholics, including, for example, St. Robert Bellarmine, so not in Luther's day, but later on, many Catholics questioned Martin Luther. You were a priest. Do you still believe in transubstantiation? He said no. And what do you believe? So he coined a term. I believe in the ubiquity I believe in the ubiquity of the real presence. Ubiquity, it's a Latin word which means the everywhereness. And so he said, I do not believe in transubstantiation. I do not believe that I have the power to change bread and wine into the living Christ. But then when he was pushed, what do you believe? I believe that Christ is everywhere. Christ is everywhere. Any reason to that from what we've said before? Christ is God. Oh, God is everywhere. Christ is God. Therefore, Christ is everywhere. Then Martin Luther's cop-out for denying transubstantiation. What then did Luther believe in? We're not sure what he believed. He lost his faith in many things he used to believe. However, he claimed that Christ is everywhere in the world, and that is why anyone who questions Christ conferring the power of changing bread and wine into his own living body and blood, anyone who questions that, he is in effect Protestantizing the Eucharist. You're Catholics who are confused by the difference between Catholicism and Protestantism. They claim God's mercy to those who do not accept the truth he has given to the Catholic Church. Can Protestants be saved? Yes, of course, provided what they believe, which is erroneous, they believe in good faith. And many Protestants, most of them, are living in ignorance of the true faith. You have tried to teach us how to practice the virtue of patience. Will you teach us how to practice the other virtues? Oh, really, that's a fascinating statement. First of all, you have tried to teach us. I've been a little bit successful. And I would rather not think that I'm teaching you patience by teaching you. As you're patiently enduring this Jesuit, oh, Father, you only knew how much patience you have to practice when you talk. But thanks. I am trying to help you practice patience. Teach you how to practice the other virtues. Well, we will. That's what the course, starting next Tuesday, will be all about. The spiritual life in the new catechism. Did Our Lady grow in her knowledge of God and his laws, and her understanding of his will for life while she was on earth? Oh, sure. Except all kinds of knowledge you got. And in fact, and as she didn't know, she told her son too. And being humble, even say, Mother, thanks for telling me, but I already know that. But being a mother, I just can't imagine maybe not teaching him many things which he already knew. And really, one reason that he did that was to humiliate himself by allowing himself to be taught. We know the sacred species no longer our Lord when they disintegrate. In other words, when what had been bread changed with living Christ, when the physical properties are no longer those of bread. Christ is no longer present when the physical properties of what used to be man are no longer those properties. Do the white, or does the, is the white powder at the bottom of the subordinate that turns the water milky when it's purified still Jesus? Well, it depends. In other words, I've not ever analyzed that white powder from the hosts. There is white powder, isn't it? Well, it's the candle. And if it's one of the particles, that would still be Christ. Should special care be given in older cloth when it's changed, in case particles have been lost on it? White on white. Yes, should be. I read in a Bible study book, Eve listened to Satan's words. Her pride was very strong. And also Lucifer lost heaven because of his pride. How is it there was pride in the angels and in Eve when God made them good and their human nature was all perfect? How did the angels have pride? Well, not just the angels, but Eve too. Both in our first parents and in the angels, they have to believe on faith that what God told them to do was true. In other words, neither the angels nor first parents yet saw the face of God. They had to believe. And faith means submission of the mind to the mind of God. So, neither the angels nor first parents were created in heaven. And therefore, they had to believe. And the principal test of the angels, of Eve, and of us, the principal test is our faith. The main reason why there are so many people living in sin, hear it. It is not because their passions are so strong. I do not underestimate the strength or the power of human passion. No. The main reason, the most fundamental reason that people commit sin is not because of their passions. It's because of their pride. And the one virtue that is being so widely ignored, devastating throughout the world, the virtue of chastity. Which you are no wonder human passion is so strong. The underlying reason, the real reason, is pride. God tells us, the body that you got, you received from me. I'm telling you, you've got certain powers in your body. And I, who created you and gave you your body, I'm telling you that you may enjoy the powers of reproduction only if you're married with your spouse, and even then, not want to exclude conception. Don't believe that? Takes a lot of humility. But it's my body. is it? Belongs to God. Thanks for the question. Could it be said that the second person limited himself forever by taking our human nature for his own? Well, we don't use that language. I know what the question means. We don't say the second person limited himself, qua second person. But can we say the second person, by taking on our human nature, and till not just the end of time, but for all eternity, will that second person, not limiting his divinity, but subjecting himself to the limitations of the human nature which he assumed? Yes. You know, the second person is limited. The second person assuming human nature, and that limited human nature belongs to the second person. Thus, when God came into the world, he didn't talk. That's what infant means. Limitation of the human nature. A parish in Flint is selling church goods this weekend. Is this allowed? I presume on Sunday, is that? Presume on Sunday. No. Shouldn't be doing it. Would you say that the two greatest deadly sins, pride and lust, really just equal pride, and that lust comes from pride? There's a profound sense in which the answer is yes. In the strictest theological sense, all sin is a form of pride. Yes. If Protestants can be saved by believing in good faith what they believe, while those Catholics in ignorance, priests included, held any more accountable than Protestants? Oh, because those who had been Protestants had received the grace of the true faith. And once you receive the grace of the true faith, you are no longer the same person. And the church teaches a Catholic who has received, been baptized, of course, and received even minimal instruction in the true faith, that person can never lose the faith. That person can only discard the faith or abandon the faith, and always, comma, always sins, always immer, always, always. And that is why once Catholics apostatize, they are much more difficult to convert than those who had never been Catholics to begin with, or never Christians to begin with. It seems that it is very hard for men to perform public acts of piety. Why? Hard for men. Is this men, masculine, gender? Okay. Hard, very hard for men to perform public acts of piety. Well, gosh, I bless myself in public. One of my Jesuits comes toward me on the first floor, and I'm going towards the dining room. I told you this, maybe. He's coming out of the dining room, and I pass the chapel. I see him coming. He sees me. Quite a big, extra big sign of the cross. It seems that it is hard for some men to perform public acts of piety. Well, one reason may be, and over the years in counseling men, one reason may be that women seem to be naturally more pious. And, well, a man wants to assert his masculinity. He's going to be told by women what to do. Oh, there are three of us here. Sometimes I'm the only man here in chapel. So it may be false human respect. You see for it? Oh. Yeah. By the way, maybe I shouldn't say what I want to say. Thanks. If we have a serious doubt about the validity of a Mass, then we are telling, how should we act towards a consecrated species? Well, obviously, reverently. And I would even say receive Holy Communion, trusting that more likely than not, and it's very hard to prove that there's been any valid Mass. A Kathy friend is planning on going to his cousin's wedding reception, but not the wedding because it's been a Presbyterian church. This cousin is a Catholic and was married in the church, but the annulment is taking too long. So she is marrying, although not free to marry. I told my friend not to attend either wedding or reception because his presence would signify his approval. I said, I would ask you for your judgment. I agree with your judgment. She not attend either the marriage or the reception. And by the way, maybe you've heard this before, there's only one sure way of converting sinners, and that is by causing them pain. Did you know that? That's what God does. He causes them pain. And it can be a very high act of charity to cause something you dearly love pain, so they will be converted. Like, for example, the Mother General. And I think I should identify, not by name, but like by location. The former Mother General of the IHM nuns here in Monroe, Michigan, over the years, taught the sisters, taught her, and then she decided to go mad. So she wrote to me, "Oh, the pain you're causing me. I would like to reestablish our friendship. I know it's causing you pain." She's right, I wouldn't answer her letters. I was teaching in Chicago then, so she came to see me. I know it was causing pain, but this was high charity. Right? So, I think I told you this, didn't I? I said, "Sister," she changed her name, you know. I said, "Sister, we'll be friends again. If you dress like a nun, talk like a nun, look like a nun, behave like a nun, I cause her more pain. So what's wrong with causing pain? Am I making sense?" If associating with mature adults over their peers helps children to mature, then homeschooling must be distinctively better for children. Yes. 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 A friend of mine does not receive Holy Communion because she says she is not worthy. What can I say? to this person, so she will receive Holy Communion. Well, unless you hear her confession, she may really be unworthy. But she should always talk to a priest. So, we can say to a person, have a talk to a priest. And whether she's really unworthy. How do you feel about Father Gunnar? He is speaking out for Fatima. Father Gunnar, he's a weirdo. Am I being recorded? If we care to get to know a nun out of habit, is it okay to remind them of the Holy Father's request about the way they are to dress? Sure. Gently. Oh. Why is the tabernacle being removed from the center of the church, a place where it cannot be found so easily? Weaken your faith. And we have 7 minutes. Back to the real presence. Remember we said, without the real presence there is no Mass, and here now, without the real presence there is no Holy Communion. It is the real presence of Christ in Holy Communion which makes Holy Communion, well, Holy Communion. It is a holifying communion. Why? Because in Holy Communion we receive God incarnate, and since God is love, we receive love incarnate. We receive therefore the living Jesus, who is incarnate love, to give us the grace to love. Love Him and love others as evidence of our loving Him. And the grace to love even the most unlovable people that God puts into our lives. And God can sure put some strange people into our lives. We ask why. Because Christ is really present in Holy Communion. This is the only exclusive, absolute reason why. Once we believe, I know what I'm talking about. 46 plus years in the priesthood, I've talked to thousands of people. Once we really, really believe that the one we're receiving is the incarnate God, and there is no limit to what we cannot expect from Holy Communion. Either we receive Him or we're not getting the grace. It is only because God, who is love, is really present in the Holy Eucharist to provide us with the graces to grow in love for Christ and grow in our love for others out of love for Christ. But Christ better be there. Otherwise, we're not receiving what only He can give, namely, the power to love as God, who is love. And that is why, for the first time in 2,000 years of Christian history, for the first time, the faithful are not only permitted, but encouraged to receive communion twice a day. And in convents, as I will be this coming Thursday in Chicago, that community, way back, my first assignment when I came back from my studies in Europe as a priest, they have a visiting priest near O'Hare, 20 minutes from the airport. I tell them to encourage priests to stop at that convent for Mass any time of the day. And they do that. And the sisters are very busy. but to get to me a second time. And sisters, nothing, comma, nothing, comma, nothing you do during the day is more important. And this calls for, as you realize, a reassessment of our, well, both time before the Blessed Sacrament and the reception of Holy Communion and getting another Mass. I have a closing prayer. Dear Jesus, if we are to become apostles of the Holy Eucharist, which you want us to be, help us, dear Lord, to understand that the real presence is not some additive to the sacrifice of the Mass and Holy Communion, that the real presence is not some afterthought to the Mass and Holy Communion. Help us to see with the eyes of faith enlightened by your grace that the sacrifice of the Mass and Holy Communion are the real presence. Help us to see more clearly that you are really present. Offer yourself, surrendering your human will to your Heavenly Father, now in an unbloody way, even as you did on Calvary, by shedding your blood, and you are now giving yourself really present in Holy Communion, so that by receiving you in incarnate love, we might love you and love those whom you place into our lives, in order to show how much we love you, because only you, divine love, can provide us with the strength we need to love. Love even unto death, as you have loved us. Amen. And my clock says exactly 3 o'clock. So, thank you. Benedictio Domini Patentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.